ideas, a new world order.
Your world is not what it seems. Alex Tansari, Outside the Box.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Alex Tansari with you for the next 2 hours right here on OracleBroadcasting.com. Open lines today, 866-841-1065. Now, it's Monday. We have a guest coming up on Wednesday. Her name is Rosalind Peterson. What we'll be talking about is the war games going on in four states. Can you believe it? Washington, Oregon, California, and Idaho. So that is coming up on Wednesday. New developments, new announcements, new information. BlacklistNews.com, RogueGovernment.com, those are the websites that you would like to check out. Now, there's a lot of news and information you'll find there. And there's a great way to connect with other listeners. It's the Oracle Broadcasting chat room. However, I need to focus my eyes on the news instead of being in a chat room. So if you want to get a hold of me, make a comment, say something on this show that you think needs to be talked about. The number for that is 866-401-1065, so your voice can be heard by other people that may not be online, that may be listening at one of our low-power FM affiliates. We've got 101.1 in Austin, Texas. We've got many other affiliates, and it just keeps increasing by the day. So this is very, very good news. All right, let's just pull the cat out of the bag. So we've got Alex Jones, allegations of Alex Jones having Rents fired. This is on the table. If you have any thoughts on this that you would like to verbalize, 866-841-1065. We have that number toll-free for you, so you won't even have to pay anything. Hey, guys, you can even go over to a payphone and actually call into a talk show that's going out on low-power FM affiliates throughout the United States. 866-841-1065. We made it very, very simple for you. In fact, we make it easier to get on the air here than most other talk show hosts. But you've got to have confidence in yourself. This whole I sound stupid, I'm an idiot type of thing, you have to stop saying that. People call in and they say, I'm an idiot, or I don't know what to say. Don't tell me that. If I told you that, you probably wouldn't listen to me. Have a little confidence. So what you do is you write down what you want to say. You look at your notes, and then you get some, you know, don't want to use any profound language today, but cojones, anything like that. And then you kind of, you know, stick with your talking points. But don't be afraid and have confidence. And you guys need to have some confidence, because guess what? You got a new world order coming to kick the living daylights out of you. And if you don't have confidence in yourself by now, brother, sister, we got an issue and got to have a talk. And you got to hear it. Because if you don't hear it from me, you might not hear it from some of the other hosts. And we've got to get some guts and confidence and belief and faith in ourselves, our own voice, our own beauty. If not, what's the point of even paying attention to all this nightmarish stuff? Otherwise, it'll just get depressing. Lots of stuff to talk about today. Again, Alex Jones, Rents is apparently off GCN. He's going to be going to what was called WFU Radio. That's where Jack Blood went. And all the details between Jack Blood and GZN, I don't know. But you know what? You know, a lot of people get scared about bringing stuff out in the open. And, you know, they want to just, you know, dance around the issues. But we're not going to do that. So if you've got something that needs to be said, I gave you those numbers. And if you don't know what those numbers are, you can also find them again by going to alexanswers.com, my website. The numbers are posted on the left side of the screen. So any thoughts at all, anything going on in the cerebral cortex of yours, allegations of Alex Jones having Rents fired, anything at all, you've got the number. We'll be back in a few.
This is Cascadia Public Radio.
you know how these things go. We all talk behind the scenes. And we hear all kinds of stuff. Some stuff we don't get into on the air, and some stuff we do. All right, you know what? We're going to be talking about a lot of stuff today, and there's a lot of news going on. But I also have some ideas of my own that I want to discuss today. And it pertains to the WWE, formerly known as the WWF, as an instrument of direct mind control. Now, most of you are laughing, and you're giggling, and you're thinking about men in tights jumping off of ropes, and that's about it. You're going, you know, people, and most people just look at the surface-level aspect of it. Steroid takers that rig fights. Ha, 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 he, that's all there is to it. I don't think so. And I'm going to tell you why I don't think so. There's something not normal about the WWE. And if there is anything true about the whole conspiracy or idea of a secret government run by Luciferians, Satan worshippers, devil worshippers, people that believe in very interesting deities. Boy, it's going to be interesting to analyze in the WWE. If you have that belief system, you've got to be willing to open your mind to some of the things that I'm about to say. Now, before we get into that, and that is a very long conversation, the research that I did yesterday on Sunday is enough for a whole documentary to be exposed about the WWE. If I had somebody sitting by me, taking notes, logging some of the stuff and videos that we were going over, we'd have a full-on documentary film, and I don't lie or brag or get caught up in ego BS stuff. I'm not kidding. To abusing women, to almost simulated rape-type stuff in the new WWE and censored, to the sexual allegations of all, we'll get into that in a few. But that thing, that whole institution is a little bit more than a roid rage-driven industry trying to get you to fight. It's a campaign to get your kids into the military. It's a campaign to destabilize families and create a decadent society. A society that's less safe for women, on top of it. Once you start reading about the lawsuits and allegations of attempted rape, and stuff also directed towards young men. A lot of pedophile-type characters that like the young men with a big chest showing in the back. All types of stuff was going on back in the day. This is also a reason why a lot of people left the WWF to come wrestle here in Portland, Oregon, my town, which used to have its own league called Portland Wrestling. And I knew a couple guys that knew some other guys that are wrestlers. And, you know, I've met Billy Jack. A lot of these guys are good guys. They're not like some of the evil characters you see on TV. And that's exactly why some of them don't make it in that business. Some of the good guys with the big hearts, they don't last. Kind of like good guys with big hearts not lasting in Congress or in the government. All right, going back to Alex Jones. 866-841-1065. It seems that people that listen to the show are a little bit shy about openly questioning or talking about Alex Jones, which is interesting. They prefer to do it behind closed doors in the comforts of a chat room, but not publicly over the airwaves. So I will be there, though, to talk about a couple things. Okay, so I don't like what Rince did. Rince engaged in propaganda. I don't think Alex Jones is a shill. I think that's propaganda. It's like two different, like it's like a fake left-right paradigm within the Patriot community. You got people that are saying Alex Jones isn't telling the full truth, but they come up with this info stuff about him being a Zionist agent just because they have suspicions, but they don't actually have the proof. But based on their suspicions alone, and they're already in the world of calling people elitists and COINTELPRO, if they don't agree with them, so there's ego wars going on, they label them a Zionist, you know, agent. And it was really racist when you look at what Jeff posted about Alex's wife. So his wife might be Jewish. Who cares? Unless you're actually a racist or an anti-Semite, that shouldn't be an issue. And anybody wants to come at me with this anti-Semitism stuff, hey, turn around, bro, before you get a slap in the face. Racism is not something I condone on my program, and those aren't people I associate myself with. And those people that fall in the box of being racist or playing the race card are falling into the New World Order's hands with their whole agenda of divide and conquer. Now, on the other hand, AJ is an a-hole. Now, there's a major difference between being an a-hole, being a sociopath, having an ego the size of Mount Everest, destroying your competition because you're trying to dominate the market. That's different. You don't have to work for the government to have an ego that's so far blown, you hurt the movement. Now, if only you guys could only grow up, stop being little boys and little girls, and start speaking like adults. I'm not speaking to all of you. Don't take offense. If this doesn't apply, it doesn't apply to you. But there's a whole lot of people out there that only criticize without making your own film. So what I'm doing is I'm being fair to Alex Jones, but I'm also being directly critical and saying things that need to be said. And so what did we see Alex do when we saw Rents promote? By the way, I see Crazy versus Crazy here in this whole Rents versus Jones type of debacle. Same thing with Stop Miller, who's a real whack job in a number of ways. Yeah, Stop Miller, you are a real piece of work. But then again, you know, Jones seems to lie so much to get his argument across that you wonder if he was telling the full truth about Stop Miller pulling out the gun. But then we hear from other people that have also gone public, like Danny Romero. And this is all public, folks. None of this stuff, you know, can't be talked about. You know, it should be talked about. But we have a break coming up. The point is, this is what the movement should be. At this point, things are so deadly serious. Our energies have got to be fused together. We're working together in synchrony where we're focused and we're effective. And this kind of piddly stuff like this makes us look bad. When we come back, we'll talk about Alex Jones, Ted Gunderson, some of the other wars that have been going on in the quest for total domination of Patriot Talk Radio. Stick around. We'll be back in a few. 866-841-1065. That's our number, or 512-904-8014. I'm Alex Ansari, and this is Outside the Box from the Oracle Broadcasting Network. Stay with us.
Decoding the New World Order, past, present, and future, Monday through Friday, 11 to 3 p.m. Central Standard Time, The Global Reality with Josh Reeves.
It all kind of seems to fall into place. It all seems to make sense, to be connected in a way. Problems of division, put a little war that distract, you know? Well, we've got two phone calls here, Sebastian from Paris and Chris from California. We'll start with Chris in a moment. Let me read the letter that Rince had written to a Dan. It could be Danny Romero. It could be a different particular Dan. And folks, it's important to talk about these issues and not think about it as a non-issue, because this is a movement, folks, that involves many people. We're not one-man gangs. And we need to deal with it and figure out what we can learn from the fighting of our peers. Some people are just interested in learning how to fight. through this and learn how to pick sides, and they're part of the whole generation we programmed where the war drum is beating, and we feel that testosterone, you know, that anger, yeah, and we're getting ready to move into camps and stuff. No, we're going to look at this intelligently. Lower the testosterone for a second. Lower the WWF, WWE programming. Just tone it down a notch. And let's look at this. Now, we've got Rince.com not making any reference to what's going on. And here's basically what he wrote to his response to this particular Dan. He writes that Jeff does. He was not fired because he was never paid by GCN. I was letting them make use of my program in exchange for commercial minutes each hour. This is according to Rince. He writes on, this is all about Jones. He called me at home last Tuesday, so this would be 6 days ago, afternoon, just past 1 p.m., and threatened to, quote, destroy me. Destroy you! And my family over the well-written story. Well, I doubt that. It was not a well-written story. It was a horrible story by brother Nathan L. Kapner, researching and seeking to understand the reasons why Jones is and has been, you know, brosine, and then it goes on and on and on to the stuff that you typically get from trolls. And then he goes on and on to talk about, so basically, you guys know I'm taking no sides in this. I'm actually pointing the finger at Rince for being paranoid, pointing the finger at Jones for letting his WWF character get too far into his real world and not leaving it on the show. In other words, not being professional off the air. And so we can all see this. And Jeff Rince writes, in fact, when I told Jones to stop threatening me on the phone, he maniacally, no exaggeration, roared in his Neanderthal voice, I'm not threatening you. I promise you, I will destroy you. Rince writes on, I've never in my life been terrorized like that. It's my personal opinion that such behavior is merely deranged and unquestionably dangerous. And by the way, I have no reason to suspect that this is all a fraud or a hoax. You know, these things happen, but most people don't know the background to these feuds for money and sponsors, so on and so forth. They're only looking at the surface level stuff and are looking at the conspiracy element and overlooking the practical business element that so many of these men are focused on, which is making money in addition to trying to get out truth. But like Lord Acton said, absolute power corrupts and total power corrupts absolutely, or something to that effect. It affects us in our little realm as well as alternative news researchers. Jeff writes that his partner heard him bellowing and raging and screaming on the phone, and she was shocked and stunned, as am I. And so this is interesting. It goes on and on and on. But we will go and get some comments now from the callers. And we will start now with Chris from California. Hello.
Hey, what's up, Big Dog? Thanks for my call.
Thank you.
I think so. Hey, I read that email last night, too. I got that. A friend sent it to me. When I first started getting into this whole alternative patriot movement, whatever you want to call this, a lot of people who I tried to show the information to were very, very, like, paranoid about Jones anyways. Like, they were always trying to come up with things like, oh, why would this guy be out here putting this stuff out? And I listened to Jones' show for a long time, so I found you guys. But the way I feel about the whole situation is, like you guys say, you know, I think it's all his ego, and it's just all got to be Jones, 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 and me. And he's trying to shut down all these other radio shows, like TruthNet Radio, that whole situation. It's just so he can get more listeners, more people listening to him. And so I think he is doing a little bit of censoring of the stuff, because one day I heard his program with the same day that Ron Paul came out on Glenn Beck. And he doesn't mention anything about Ron Paul being on the Glenn Beck show and then, like, poo-pooing the whole FEMA camp thing. He sits there and talks all his trash about Glenn Beck and nothing about the Ron Paul. So, and then he comes and says, oh, because we don't want to bash Ron Paul. But it's like, if he's not doing any good for us, then you know, just tell the truth. Speak the truth.
I have defended Alex and defended Alex and defended Alex and defended Alex and defended Alex so many damn times in my life. And then he sits around and attacks other people, and then attacks Oracle, because there are people who utilize their free speech on this network to write articles about things they don't agree with, and he flips that on the air and starts using COINTELPRO language. Well, Alex Jones, you want to start playing that game? You better be aware. There's blowback, buddy. There's blowback when you do things like that. And we can intelligently argue against what you're saying without calling you a stooge or COINTELPRO, but an a-hole who has an ego the size of Mount Everest, who needs to be put back in your place every now and then, And it's good to be humble when you're fighting this war, so you know your head doesn't get too bad. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Hey, he actually has attacked Oracle by name?
Oh, yeah. Somebody called in to Oracle and plugged Alex Ansari, me. And he flipped out. Alex Ansari, he's okay. He's a nice guy. Because I really never have attacked him. I only did, you know, promote him when I was younger. And, oh, yay, I get to interview Alex Jones, early childhood inspiration, blah, blah, blah. Go down to Austin, Texas, do the whole thing, the whole pilgrimage. And then put the thing on YouTube. And, yeah, I met Alex Jones. And then later on, now that I'm older, I'm like, yeah, well, so what? and then there's other things, too. Why can't you just be cool? Why do you got to flip out on Oracle when someone just mentions my name? And then he started going on, I ought to sue those people. I ought to sue them, that type of thing. You know, that type of talk is crazy.
Wow. Yeah, I didn't hear that one. But,
well, I have the audio clip. I'll try to get the audio clip ready.
Yeah, really, because I try to monitor his show and a lot of the, I listen to you guys mostly, but I started to keep my ear to the ground about what he's talking about over there as well. But yeah, that'd be interesting. I never heard him mention anything about Oracle, and I can assume as soon as someone brought it up, I can just see him just taking him off the air and just start bickering and going on about Josh Reeves and all those other things, because I've sent some emails before about things like that Rolling Stone article with Larry Pratt. They don't even want to talk about that. They're never gonna mention that Rolling Stone article with the contrary death, you know, all that situation. They're never gonna bring that up over there on InfoWars. Thanks for taking my call, man. Take it easy.
Thank you. I think go ahead and send Jones a copy of this show if any of you guys want to. I really don't care. I know all about his behavior. We all know about listening to the other shows and the paranoid behavior and this, that, and the other. Boy, and I say boy, if the word is appropriate, you got to wake up, sir. These people out here you irresponsibly attacked made you. Spread your DVDs, spread your message, your little sticker all over town. But some of us, sir, don't want to be little black shirts. You talk a lot about the brown shirts. Some of us don't want to be the black shirts. Run around with the 9/11 stuff because we don't just want to be out there supporting you. Some of us have messages. It's all about you, and you figured this out, and you got into Bohemian Grove. Sebastian in Paris, we'll talk to you after this break. Stay with us, folks.
You are now listening to Oracle Broadcasting, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.
Whole issue with this, the first hour, and then the World Wrestling Entertainment Industry Corporation. And how it all kind of fits together in the second hour. I didn't think I was as fired today when I woke up. But, yeah, Sebastian in Paris, good afternoon, hello. And what time is it over in Paris anyway?
Hi, Alex. It's about 10:30 at night. Not too late.
Lots going on. So your take, all that and more, and whatever's on your mind, go ahead.
Well, I was thinking about it because I saw that yesterday. And first of all, I think it's important not to get involved in infighting within our movement. And I know you've made a point to say that in the past, but now it's one of those times, and it's important not to get too caught up in this. the other thing, too, is I was looking up at what Rance posted and that article from Real Jews News. And what it seemed was that the article, I mean, it's okay to ask questions. It's always good to ask questions. But to ask if he's a Zionist shill and to say that he never mentions Zionists, which he actually does a lot, especially when speaking about Rahm Emanuel and people like that. But where I think that the person went too far, and in a way Jeff went too far by posting this, is when you bring in some, I mean, Alex Jones is a bulldog, and he's kind of the bulldog of the movement. And he has a lot of flaws, and sometimes he kind of pisses me off, but he fills his function as a bulldog quite well. And but he crossed the line, basically, by going after his wife and kids, especially the kids. And usually when you go after someone's kids, that's usually where, you know, you really cross the line. And,
that's what I'm saying. Exactly. And also, if I was Alex Jones, I mean, come on, guys, be honest. If this stuff's true and you're talking about FEMA camps, do you want to put your wife and kids on display? I mean, it's not like he's got them hidden down in a basement bunker somewhere. I mean, they go to school. We all know he's got family. Everybody knows already what she looks like from Bohemian Grove. And she's a great-looking lady. You don't want to put that on display. You don't want to do that when you're engaged in a war like this, folks. Not if you're intelligent. Not if you know what you're up against when the eye of Sauron's really on you, because you are doing great work. And you are on the radar. And so it would make sense for him to do that. But they base this. Alex Jones deletes stuff about his wife on the Prison Planet forum. That's his property. I mean, there's free speech, but there's also stuff that's dangerous. It's on your so you understand, I'm attacking both of them. So none of them could say he's taking sides. It's just the whole thing's ridiculous. I just want to plant the seed and get people thinking about those particular elements, how it's wrong to make certain allegations and bring people's family into it when things are this dangerous. There's a lot of people out there, as you know, Sebastian, millions of readers, that have no discretion. That have no discretion when they read things.
Absolutely. And it's important, especially, that we stay focused on what the real enemy is. And in a way, Jones is leading the way by putting out these documentaries, by getting the Obama deception out so soon after you know, Obama's come in, and he's still kind of hot media-wise. And
that's true, and I have a link to the Obama deception on my website, so people can go watch it for free if they haven't seen it yet, over at alexanswer.com. There's a link to the movie.
But I just, you know, I don't have that much to say about it, because I don't really know Jeff that well. But I just know that for anyone, when you go after their kids, that's really where it tends to cross the line. And also the reasoning involved in the article I thought was extremely poor. To say that he never goes after Zionists, which he does, and he goes after them quite a bit. I mean, it's not his main focus. And
there's more information in Fabled Enemies, which was made by Jason Burmes, that deals with some of those unanswered questions of Israeli / Mossad involvement in 9/11. And so, you know, a lot of that was in there. And I think in that they were trying to address some of those questions that people have been asking. When I've researched 9/11, Israeli stuff or stuff about that has not been at the forefront of things I've discovered. Doesn't mean it's not happened. It means that that's not, to me, the most compelling piece of evidence. I don't think we'll ever really know what really went down. We'll just debate about it and argue about it in the meantime, though, which is, again, another distraction. So all I'm trying to say is we have got to be our own leaders, because sometimes we're going to see things that disappoint us and people that we have a lot of faith in. And we should have more faith in ourselves to lead ourselves. And also perhaps understand that nobody's perfect, not Rents, not Alex. Nobody's perfect. And people make mistakes. But it is important to understand that these people are not fit to really lead you anywhere. They're just providers of information like all of us. And I'm not in a position to really lead any of you anywhere. We can only kind of help each other and provide each other. That's the point, Sebastian, and for those listening, of why we're talking about this. So when you can see this, understand there are no perfect people, and there are some really dirty aspects, our dirty aspects of this business. Then you realize, hey, you gotta look out for yourself and watch your own back. And sometimes in many cases not fall into the mistake of mindlessly having role models and heroes and looking up to so much of what they say. That does seem to happen with some of these characters that let their ego take control of the wheel. All right, Sebastian, I want to thank you for calling in. I'm going to go ahead and cover some other things as well. I think that's about all I'm going to say on this particular topic, unless anybody wants to call in and add anything to it. We just spent 40 minutes on it. I wish Alex Jones well in the future with his growth and success. I've also seen him mature in a number of ways and have some amazing guests on his show like David Icke and Michael Tesarian. And that's very inspirational for a lot of us that that are fans of their work, but could never understand why Jones was so closed-minded with some of the religious programming of, oh, I'm not going to have this person on because, you know, I think that I'll be judged or disliked by my audience. If I were to have someone on that believes in extraterrestrials, and he found out, no, that's not true. In fact, a lot of people were very excited to have David Icke on, to hear him on the air. So he had him on again, and then again, because he saw the people liked it. But is this about bringing content to people because they like it or because, you know, you're really working together in a movement, not just trying to fuse the information into your own website of InfoWars.com? I mean, we all know you got to grow and make money to expand. Some of us understand that practical business sense and support you and tell people to go to the website, sir. But a little goes a long way, and now I've completely gone off into some other areas. Issues at hand, though. China, Russia, United States. Possibility of World War III. The crash taking place this summer. Living in the solutions. That's what we got to do. Work together. Tear down the walls that tear us apart. Keep us apart and separated from each other. Economic crisis. Fueling civil unrest in the United States. Lots of crime. Cops getting shot. People getting shot. People killing themselves, people killing others. There's more shootings that took place in North Carolina and some other state. You know, I don't even want to go into details. It's just, you know, blood, 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 blood. I don't want to get involved in the details or the effect part of cause and effect. My mind is locked and loaded on the cause aspect. The cause aspect. And, you know, let's just launch right into it. You know, I feel like I got to stand up for this one. I just got so much, I don't know. Chuck Norris, great place to start. We'll also bring in some other icons from our history. Jesse Ventura, these people that engage in propaganda for the state, helping create a more violent society, Delta Force, WWF, smash them, kill them, and stomp them. Who helped create an angry population in the 80s and 90s, are going to lead us out of this mess. And they can't even address the root cause of some of this stuff going on, the programming element, the mind control element to the TV. Well, that's what we'll talk about today with the WWE. Stay with us.
The Intel Strike Report, Monday through Friday, 5 to 7 Central. It is where the rubber meets the road.
Exclusively on Oracle Broadcasting.
Never gonna you know, the whole late 70s, Arnold Schwarzenegger, the Terminator, Rocky, Rambo, bodybuilding, biceps, American Gladiators, WWF, the NFL, anabolic steroids, people needing something to do in an empire that they live on. There's not a heavy war at the time. Nothing's really going on. It's the Reagan years. The economy's not doing so good. You have a lot of white and black men that need a focus, that need a hero, that need an icon. After all, we are in an empire. We need to have bread and circus. We need to have our cotton candy. We need to have our theater. At the dawn of the new century, in the days of the late 1890s, men fought for hours and hours in New York City. No gloves, pit fighting. The Irish, the whole get 'em up thing was going down. We were living in the big cities. It was a big booming time. We just raped the country in a number of ways environmentally. Now it's time for industry. Now it's time for civilization. Now it's time to kill the Indians and put them on the reservations. My God, it's so glad that we're white, living in this wonderful empire. My, it's such a fantastic world. So there you begin to see social changes, changes in jobs, changes in the culture. And blammo, a couple other big developments, you know, World War I, World War II. But after World War II, here we are in this big, big land. It seems that we've conquered the world. Well, in a way we did economically, and that we had so much. We never had to go and really hunt anymore. Those were called hobbies. Those weren't necessities. We had supermarkets. But yet, even though we have an empire and they made things so good, we still have instincts. We still have strength. We still have power, and we have to utilize that in a way, whether it's healthy or unhealthy, it's going to come out. So in this world where we can become sedentary beings, where we don't move, and we don't exercise, we have a civilized world, and we don't go out, and we have everything we need, and we're literally eating the big GMO spoils off the war. So because we're biological beings, we're humans, we seek an escape, and that escape comes through the TV set. Now, why the TV set? We as humans are constantly looking for information, information that may aid us in our quest to survive. Now, when we're trapped into that whole surveillance mentality, survival mentality, we can become out of balance when we're too afraid. And when people are young, especially young men and women, they flip on that TV and they see these fears coming at them. People trying to attack you. People trying to hurt you. And other forms of propaganda. You know, the black man, the crackhead. You know, the overemphasis on that. And through hip-hop. The point where it's mind control towards African-Americans watching that. Where they make that a part of their identity. They're not because they're black. Because they're mirroring what's in their environment. What's being thrown their direction. So you have different layers of the propaganda. Hitting different demographics. And the demographic hitting the white trash demo, that particular tool that was used to direct their minds, rather than the NFL, but for the most part, the WWF, now known as the WWE. And throughout the 80s, I mean, we saw so many different shows, so many different programs on TV, all under the guise of entertainment. Where we as Americans, young men, were out there fighting wars against the Middle East. Being the defender. People aren't defending their tribes anymore because we have police officers and we have people like that. So in this world, we're trying to simulate that sense of being the hunter or the protector through the programs that we're seeing on the television set. So people don't really experience what it really means to be a protector or really a provider or a hunter. It's done to the simulated sense. Now, for better or for worse, men follow other men. Women follow men. The alpha male leads the herd, for better or for worse. It could be a charismatic person with great intentions or a charismatic person, well-spoken person with very sinister intentions. There are those of us that we're fond of.
right? You all have your favorite. You just like how they say it. You know what I mean? Many of us like Maxwell. He has a great way of saying things, doesn't he? But we believe he has good intentions. And we look at the information. Then there are others that speak to the American people in a way that captivates them, like Barack Obama, that are very dark, sinister intentions. So when I look at this particular corporation, the WWE and TV and all these different things out there, I see a script over time where they're pre-programming a generation ahead of time to respond to what they're seeing with fear and to want to take part in that behavior. Because they think it's manly. Flying helicopters in the desert? Hey, it's Airwolf! Da, 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 da. Gonna fight for the mother government. And why does a guy with the talk show about the New World Order have an exit theme like this? What does a song like this and a show like this represent? Working for the mother government. Black helicopters. Did anybody see that Apache? Oh, it's just a show. It's just entertainment. The Knight Rider of helicopters. It is Airwolf. So I find this world to be very, very strange. Very, very odd. Now, there are some lyrics that just kind of stand out to you that are in a song. Here's one. I am a real American. Fight for the rights of every man. Propaganda for the whole nationalistic go out and fight for the enemy. Look at the characters that were involved in the scripting of the 1980s. The Iron Sheik. And then there was these Russian characters. Now, this stuff was all over the TV set, and I'm not mixing pro wrestling or some of the other things that went on in the past with that sport. I'm not mixing that with the WWE. I'm specifically targeting the WWE, formerly known as the WWF. Because from what I saw last night, if there's anything to the Luciferian agenda, it's heavily active today. In the WWE. Now, I know that this information is strange and not all of you are understanding what I'm saying. And I can only tell you that I did a lot of research, and there's a number of books that have been written about Vince McMahon, the CEO of the WWE. And what we're talking about is a corporation. We're talking about a sick corporation. A lot of you know about Blackwater and Walmart. But we're talking about another corporation that makes a lot of money off of brainwashing youth. We're talking about the decadent breakdown of society, violence against women even being demonstrated in some of the WWE Raw Uncensored pay-per-view events. And some of the stuff is pretty sick, folks. And I noticed, you know, I felt that there was something wrong. You know, a lot of you, I've expressed that my intuition led me to start suspecting that 9/11 was an inside job. And a lot of other things about the police state. There's some other things that I also felt at that time that I haven't talked about since. So what I'm trying to do here is process some of these thoughts. There's something very evil about the 2000 election. There's also something evil about something else that I saw, that the WWE Raw, which is war spelled backwards, that was also on, like, every single night. And I noticed something. All the characters were evil now. And they were not heroes. They were not charismatic. They were all evil.
You're listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network. Long live the revolution.
WWE, and there is a war going on. There is a battle going on, but most people aren't aware of it. They think they're watching just something that's a game, instead of being actually indoctrinated to become more warlike, more violent, more abusive towards women, but also fall in the line to join the military to do something with that masculine energy. But there's also a lot of dark, satanic elements to the WWE, characters like Papa Shingo and The Undertaker. And if anyone's been watching or used to be a fan, you know, or used to see some of the things when they were younger and how it started out. By the way, I got to remind you that the first WrestleMania was a black guy versus a white guy. Hulk Hogan, the blonde-haired, blue-eyed, steroid, raging, charismatic, handsome individual that many of us know and the United States and throughout the world of mass media. And then, of course, another charismatic man, African-American man, the man who is Mr. T from the A-Team. And so this is what you see right away. Big black guy fight big white guy. Am I keeping this simple enough? I don't think this is a joke. Many of us are whole life, and you see these perceived threats, and they stay with you. This is the man, though. We get in the ring. The ring, well, what's going on here? We have already a destabilized, even though 9/11 didn't happen yet, we're already involved in multiple wars around the world, building up our bases. There was Nicaragua. There was Iran-Contra. I mean, we just came out of Vietnam. So, I mean, we were already becoming a more violent society. It's also the age of pornography, too. And the videotapes, and that began to just flourish and just migrate out of Southern California. So we had a lot of weird decadent stuff going on in society. You know, this is what it is. This is Rome. And then all of a sudden it wasn't like boxing anymore. And see, I'm a fan of real martial arts and boxing and honor and integrity and defending yourself and working out. But it seems like the more people saw this stuff, the more they got involved in spectating it, watching it, but not actually knowing how to defend themselves. But if they did get into it, like people that get into MMA today, they do it without no honor, no integrity, no respect for themselves or their opponent. It's just kill. It's bite. It's chew. It's destroy. A lot of you ladies don't understand this about how men can truly be programmed to be addicted to that testosterone, that fight or flight, that animal instinct. And I want to talk about this and try to at least help some people understand how deep that addiction can go, and how animalistic it really is, and how the more violent you are, the more likely you are to actually rape somebody, and how this is actually bad for our society to let these demons out of the box. And I saw what was going on then when I was 8 years old and 9 years old, and I had these suspicions, and then I got older and saw what it morphed into. But what I got to say was, WrestleMania, some episodes are nice to watch from the old days, because some of the characters were heroes. They were heroes. Now, it's the era of, you know, G.I. Joe and all this other garbage and He-Man, this, that, and the other, and American Gladiators and all this stuff. But you had a lot of heroes. You know, here's Hulk Hogan. I don't do drugs. Eat your vitamins. Do your prayers. I believe in God. I believe in the Constitution. I've got the flag. I'm your hero. I am a real American. Fight for the rights of every man. Now, we're not even going to even have time to talk about steroid use and the whole morality part around that, these monsters that become, but we're going to talk about the decline of morals and how heroes have become villains. And that's what they're pushing. The villain in the black ski mask. Like, hey, Rick. Yes, I think some of the rockers. Is it Rick Martel? You can really go far in this business. And we can help that process. But you know what? We want something from you. And you know what that is? And story after story after story came out around 1991, 1992. And you don't really think some of the stuff goes on, but it does. This is also ways you can blackmail people. I mean, you look at the stuff that happens in government. And, you know, people being bribed, sexual favors, things like that. So it's not just something that happens in government. Now, attempted rape, attacks on women, a lot of that stuff started spiking, or at least reports of it came out in the late 1990s. And we're talking about the simulated abuse of women. Nicole Bass was one of the female wrestlers, and they brought it in. It's also the divide of man versus woman. Then we started seeing men and women wrestle and fight one another and be violent with one another. You saw the men. She almost was indoctrinating incrementally. First with the men fighting each other, black versus white, all the different races, all the different countries, and royal rumbles and steel cages. Total anarchy, total world war, total disruption with actual national identities being likened to some of these characters. Like nationalities being, you know, being the thing you identify with when you walk in the Olympics, your race or your country or your creed, all the Iron Sheik and the friggin' Bolsheviks, the Russians, Hulk Hogan. But, I mean, these are also characters that people can associate with. There's all these white, the junkyard dog, what? Some black guy from the ghetto with his shirt off and Hercules, some white trash guy just was working on his car and walked out, you know, ripped up with a chain around his neck. I mean, the mythological gods and deities, the big boss man. And then demonic characters, Papa Shingo and the Undertaker and, you know, this guy with the whole the urn behind the Undertaker that, we're going to take your soul. We're going to take your soul. What was his name, man? You know, it was just these characters. And then there were the evil black guys. You know, those crazy niggas. They'd come out going, yeah, we're straight out of prison. We're going to rape ya. You know, just like, ugh. Fear the black man thing. Definitely playing that card. Kill the angry black man. Look at me, I'm 400 pounds. It's just like, wow, this is scary. You know, then you've got the, and then when you get in the lyrics of some of these songs, it gets real interesting. Anybody out there remember the, so what I'm doing now in this segment is going over the stereotypes. And these stereotypes, you can pick your villain, pick your character. You know, there are all these different representations of just nut jobs out there in our world. Look at the big boss man. You know, police brutality. Yeah. Yeah, Hulk Hogan. Yeah, I got my baton waiting for you. We're going to put you in lockup. And we're going to have our way with you. Yeah, buddy. We're going to have our way with you. You know, and you sit there, and then you got the you got all these different dramas. But look, guys, it went from hero to villain. Incrementally, we saw Hulk Hogan change. Now, Vince McMahon, he's a real. By the way, there's been attempted rape charges or sexual harassment charges. Oh, it was the Paul Bear.
We're going to take your soul. We're going to take the ultimate war to your soul.
You know, that guy in the back. He was that little, you know, devil-worshipping-looking guy behind the Ultimate Warrior. And I hope also you're able to see the connection with Kid Rock. Remember we talked about Kid Rock's warrior video recently? Yeah, baby, be a warrior. Yeah. I know why I don't Alex Jones, but Alex Jones and his rant against Kid Rock is just awesome. You've got to see it. Just Google Jones, Kid Rock. I mean, it's what I'm getting at right there. Yeah, man, you can be tough like Kid Rock. Oh, yeah, I'm so tough. Come on, idiot kids. Join the military. You know, like three doors down. But then you see Kid Rock. He's already been screaming this battle cry. He screamed the battle cry. Undisciplined strength, just they want a whole generation of loose cannons that want to go out and knock some heads, but they can't really fight, and they have no morality, but they want the blood. These people are in the business of making beasts. These are beast makers. You know, and here's the thing. I'm going to forget so much of what I was thinking about yesterday unless I write this down or at least talk about it. I'm not going to be able to cover everything, but this guy, Vince McMahon, he is a real piece of work, and I think someone groomed him for this. And I started looking into his childhood and his background, and his dad was involved in pro wrestling in New York. There was a lot of that homosexuality going on and harassment of guys in the locker rooms and drug use and the mob. And his dad didn't want him involved in that business. And this has been a corporation that has grown and grown and grown and today has dominated all of what is known as professional wrestling. ECW, gone. WCW, gone. I mean, they're really just, you know, different sides of the same coin. But, I mean, some of it with the scripting and this and that and the other, I mean, we haven't even got into Hulk Hogan today and the New World Order, and that really launched a couple of years before 9/11. All this talk about merging together these villains that seem to, in reality, be a part of a predictive programming process. Where not only is it we're seeing the movies, but we're seeing these characters that are announcing these things that they're happening in our world. Now I'm thinking about that transitionary, you know, period of time between, you know, the 90s and when I was like, oh my God, this stuff is sick. Raw is war. Raw is war. And then 9/11 happened. And the WWE associated themselves, they were already doing this before 9/11 happened, now with the military running spots, and now every year they go to Iraq and perform in front of the troops. And you know how they always have the star? It was Hogan, and there was this guy named... when you look into a guy's eyes, I mean, you can kind of tell, you know, what energy, you know, they're coming at you from. The guy that got out today, he looks like a recruit for the Marines, basically. Short hair and everything. No more long hair. That's how he's the perfect Marine-looking, strong, 6'5", 300 pounds of muscle. So we'll continue this conversation in a few minutes, folks.
Pull back the curtain to expose the Matrix on Axiom Radio with Rob Chowder and Joel Bissett. Weekdays at 7 p.m. on the one and only Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Our biceps and the sweat off our backs. They want to take it, pull it in, and reel it in like fishing. Using you know, programs like the WWE as bait, really. Like trying to catch a fish. Vince McMahon is a very dark character. And we're going to go to John Preston, but I want to allude to something I'm going to be talking about later after we talk with John, is that I believe that Vince McMahon is brilliant as a businessman. He's very honest in where he says, hey, it's all about business. I'm all about money and doing what's right for the business. He's not lying in that regard. So in a way, he's kind of like the Chinese or the CCP. But what I want to say is that I believe he's someone with an alter ego, that it appears that there's two sides to him. He has a very dark, evil streak, and he has been bringing it out the last decade on the show. And really, there's a certain mind control that's taking place. It's not just about watching barbarians. It's about the master come out and saying, I own you all, and I want you to kiss my you-know-what. You're fired! And the whole you're fired campaign came out, along with Donald Trump's you're fired campaign. And Trump even made many appearances, as well as many other celebrities, on the WWE. And then the porn star girls started in and up on the WWE as wrestlers. They're also engaged in Playboy and other forms of hardcore pornography. So you could see the industry crossover and the sexual violence and the whole anger. And I'm the alpha male. I control you. And you guys have been watching my network all this time. But now I've got so much money, I'm just going to come right out and say it. I am an evil SOB. and I want you to be my slave. You're all below me. I am the top dog here, and I'm going to incorporate this into my character. And Vince McMahon says, hey, is that me or is that a character? And he admits in his own little mini documentary on the WWE, in kind of a crazy kind of, you know, I'm crazy kind of way, he goes, I really don't know which one is the real me. And many of us, you know, that may have seen some of these is going, this is an interesting character the CEO's created. But all that sexual violence you see on the screen and all these plots about killing people and robbing people and ripping them off, it's really what's been going on for years. They've brought out in the open, and they've announced things like the New World Order. Yeah, the WWE, man, is a real interesting topic. Now, John, thanks for holding all this time. I just see you now in the docket. Welcome to the show. I know you have some ideas on this.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. I used to be an old-school WWF fan. But we got to remember, too, I don't know what – I didn't watch that documentary that Vince was talking, but I'll tell you, he's not right anyway, because if you remember, they had that storyline where Triple H and his daughter – can't think of her name right now – Vince McMahon's daughter were married.
Oh, yeah, Stephanie.
Remember that? Okay, yeah, Stephanie, that's right. Well, you know, in real life, Triple H and old China were a couple. And
oh, by the way, Triple X is also a name of a wrestler, too. What do we think of when we think of Triple X pornography? But go ahead.
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt. But he actually, when that storyline was going on, I guess they were Triple H and Stephanie were spending too much time together or being made to rehearse. And we're having a real affair. And, you know, China brought her concern saying, hey, I think this storyline is kind of, you know, messing up my relationship with my man. And that's when he gave her the axe. And, you know, like, get out of here. You know, this is my daughter. So I think that guy's a real piece of work, old Vince McMahon anyway. And, you know, in real life, his heart's kind of tinted dark. But what I called in about was,
I mean, you see the fury on his face, how red he turns? He looks like he's channeling a demon live before everybody. And it's not impossible to say that he's not. And then I just want to say one thing, and then I want to hear what you have to say. He was talking about, in one show that came out a couple years ago, he had a illegitimate son, and it could be any of the wrestlers. And he did this ritual, and I think there's a ritual that might be played out on his show. There might be something more to this show. It could be true that it's not just a show. They were all lined up around like slaves, like men, hoping to be a part of his gene pool. And they started with eliminating the darker colored. This is on YouTube. I mean, you can make a whole documentary film about what I'm saying. First the blacks go, then the browns go. Then it came down to blonde hair, blue-eyed. As he sits with the eugenics guy up on a monitor, and he's basically giving him clues to go through the process of elimination and who might be that blonde-haired, blue-eyed son. This went on for 5 minutes.
Yeah,
I was very disturbed by that. Go ahead.
I recall that because I was actually pulling away from it, and I remember catching that on the TV and, you know, flipping the channels and saw that they had a lineup trying to figure out, you know, who was this kid. They'd show that on commercials. But touching on the aspect that it might be more than entertainment, I definitely agree with that. I don't know what it is, but some of the chants back in the day when the Undertaker would have the people out there with their torches and he'd come out, some of those chants, somebody had to tell me, it wasn't my brilliant mind, but some of those chants are actually some Wiccan chants that they were chanting and stuff. But what I think were the turn of events, at least back in the day, you had your hero and you had your villain. But I think they kind of helped promote the idea of, you know, sometimes the good guy has to do bad things, you
That's
know?
The thing with the face paint, the warrior face paint. There's an evil, dark aspect of that in our past that goes back to the invading, oh boy, I don't know all my history, folks, but the ancient, I don't want to say Scandinavian or Viking per se, but I'm thinking Western Europe during the time of the Vikings, the ones that wore the face paint, the ones that, you know, the supreme killers, and then you look at the Joker and the face paint, and that's symbolism. And then, yeah, go ahead.
As absolutely. You know, I mean, the Celtic warriors, you know, and the, it goes back, you know, the American Indians did that too, you know, their war paint. But they even started taking off the face paint, you know, and when the good guy, you know, when the ref wasn't looking for honor and for the good side, we'll go ahead and smoke him in the back of the head with a chair and stuff. And, you know, the whole idea of good guys do bad things sometimes, you know, to defeat evil, like the whole idea of the wolf. You need a wolf to catch a wolf. And, you know, that's when, you know, I was like, okay, you know, that's when I think the line was crossed. Okay, this is not for kids anymore, because at least I try to teach my kids, you know, a good guy doesn't do the bad things, you know. I think you're absolutely correct. It's that whole propaganda scene with the WWF. It hits pretty much every aspect of things that are not moral, you know. Yeah, like we're talking about the rape. You know, a good guy doesn't cheat for good reasons. You know, I mean, period. You know, you just. You know,
oh yeah, then they cheat, cheating popular. A bunch of guys jumping, we saw incrementally, and then it got more elaborate. The chairs and the weapons, and then I remember 9 years old looking at wrestling magazines. I'd be with my mom at the grocery store. It was the '80s, pumping Iron Veins, 1980s. And I'm at the grocery store, and what do I see? It's the wrestling magazine where a guy is scraping another guy's face off with barbed wire and brass knuckle battle at the back of the pit. All right, John, we'll be back in a few, but the sickening. The public on the Roman age, Roman reign. This woman filed a sexual harassment claim, was hit with a guitar that was supposed to be fake. And it wasn't. They busted her head open on national TV. We told you if you said something about us wanting to put our fingers in your body, we are going to mess you up. And they did this to a woman. And if you do the research in the sexual harassment of the WWE, this is her story. They said they were going to hurt her if she said something. They switched the fake guitar and put in a real one. And that is... horrifying to hear about. Thank you, John, for calling in. Thank everybody for talking about some of what you see. And I talk about it because many people, I think, have been programmed by it on a subconscious level and don't see beyond just the entertainment factor and don't see the obvious programming factor. And there are many, many other elements as well. And the whole thing about the steroid issue is really the least of my concerns, although it does play a part in, you know, the programming factor of becoming a malicious, violent person, especially when you're surrounded by so much propaganda. Now, there have been many wrestlers that are pretty much veterans of the unknown war. A war really doesn't seem to have a purpose, a war between men. We have to get, you know, and Vince has a reputation. Everybody knows the guy wants monsters. Guys, they're all juiced up. You know, Ultimate Warrior was ripped. He had no brains. He really couldn't even form complete sentences, and he couldn't get a job. So he's all souped up. He's on roids. He's ripped. He goes all the way to the headquarters of WWE and just walking around in his outfit in the middle of the street. Now, he had been wrestling at some other places, and you know, he couldn't get, you know, the WWE to call him. He just thought he'd just walk around. And this is somebody that obviously shows some dedication. They're like, hey, we got to pull this guy in. But when you start learning about the inside of pro wrestling and what it really is, it's an industry to create a product that McMahon said that he wants to export around the world. He's got this whole globalism aspect in his mind of what the WWE should be. Global entertainment. Think about that. When you have so many people, and they want so many people watching a certain thing, certain plots, certain characters, certain stereotypes, certain scripts that seem to parallel what's going on in the real world. So it doesn't just end. It just really begins in reality with the whole Hulk Hogan New World Order thing. You combine it with all the abuse on women, the attacks on each other, and the violent weapons being used to no friends, people that used to be together or friendships, battling each other, where heroes become villains, where it's okay to do something bad, where it's sexy, and these women are literally just for you to pillage. It's kind of like you're somewhere hundreds of years ago, and you're a Viking, and you're taking what's yours and doing what you think is right or what feels good at the moment, what your body wants to do. Yeah. And so there's almost this bringing out of a demon, the dark side of man, that I think these shows are here to do. Demonically speak to our darker, primitive, less positive, out of balance, overly masculine, out of balance side. That's demonically instead of angelically influenced. That's almost possessed by something. And the power of TV and the power of this medium is it does just that. It possesses, it directs in profound, powerful ways, and it comes down to the charisma of these characters that is crafted and designed and scripted. They know their audience and where they want to take their audience. And they're selling you more than a physical product or merchandise or TV shirts. They're selling you ideas. They're in the business of selling you on these dark ideas of who you are and what you should be afraid of. And it's just like politics. So there are parallels here, folks, in the whole metaphor of what we see in the political arena. It's like professional wrestling. We've said it so many times. And then you look at professional wrestling and you realize it could be run by the very New World Order. All these programs, all these characters. You can see darkness when you look in someone's eyes. You look at Vince McMahon and look at somebody, I mean, you see that cold callus. I control you. I want you to kiss my behind. As on national TV, We get desensitized to it. And no one goes, hey, we get this, what's going on here? They're like, it's just entertainment. It's just entertainment. What's your beef? It's just entertainment. As he sits there and pulls his pants down, and every WWE wrestler, actor, entertainer has to kiss, lay their lips on that man's greasy, nasty behind. And then the expressions he's making on his face, I'm like, this is a rich man gone nuts. This is like, okay, I'm just coming out. You know what? I rule all you, and I determine what you're going to watch and what you're not going to watch. He comes out, and he's walking. He's got this walk. I control the wrestlers. I'm going to make each one of you kiss my behind. And the women, they wrestle, and people like Stone Cold Steve Austin. Which, by the way, that whole 316 thing, what was that all about? 316, I think he was trying to associate the Bible and his demonic ass. That's what I think. I'm this Christian white shaved head decking, yeah. Stone Cold Steve Austin, I'm the ACDC kind of guy. I get you done. Dirty deeds unsheathed. D&T, I'm the 1980s blonde, blue hair, blue eye, tough guy. Move over, Chuck Norris. Arr, alpha male, I can do it. Yeah, and so you see things like clips of him literally snapping a girl, rips a girl's shirt off, literally in front of the stage, on stage. Like, yeah, we're tough. We're beating people up. We, you know, gangbang other people. And I heard there's actually gangbangs and lots of cocaine in the locker rooms, too. All this stuff is out there. Cocaine use. They get some of these guys. So the difference between a bodybuilder and a wrestler is wrestlers are there to get big. And there's some healthy ones. And there are some good ones. There are some people. We've only talked about the ones that have got some serious problems. Or actually, most we've talked about Vince McMahon. But there are some good wrestlers out there that get out. There are some people like Billy Jack Haynes, who I got a chance to meet through a friend of mine. And I don't know if any of you guys have ever heard of Butterbean. He was a boxer. Well, I have a friend that was involved in boxing promotion. He's in his late 40s, and he kind of tagged me along. You know, let me tag along. You know, I was a lot younger then. You know, show me what it's like in the business and when you're trying to promote something. And he was sitting there having a dinner. We're having a dinner with Billy Jack, and they were talking about him wanting to have this fight with Butterbean and who they can call to see if they can make it happen or see if they can get a venue at the Rose Garden. And people like Billy Jack and many others have been pushed out of the business as wrestlers, kind of forced to, you know, go back to other leagues or smaller ones because the WWE has become a conglomerate. It's really dark, and they have, like, I don't know how many wrestlers. I think about 700 wrestlers that they have on hire at one time, and they kind of go through them like toilet paper. And it's a very dark, negative experience as it's become today. I understand we have a couple callers, and I've just been rambling and rambling and rambling. But, again, 866-841-1065. We're almost out of time here. One more segment. We've got two calls, and we have a break coming up right now. Actually, Glenn, is that you?
It is me.
Okay. Well, we have a break coming up. We'll be back in just a few. Stay with us, and it looks like there's three calls altogether, so we'll try to give each one of you a couple minutes when we come back. Stay with us, everybody.
Thank God you should go out there and learn to fight. Learn to box, learn to strike, learn to lift, get strong. Just don't watch this garbage on the TV or some of the showing this MMA stuff. We'll do MMA another day. I'll deal with these punks, these things that these people think they're tough guys another day, the MMA. These people that if they only knew what the New World Order was about and what was really going down, they'd piss in their pants.
Yeah. Okay, three calls. We're going to blast through you. We only have 9 minutes. Glenn from Portland, how are you?
Hey, I'm fine. Have you heard anything about the arrest at the anti-Zionism, anti-Israel protest yesterday afternoon here in Portland at the Mittleman Community Center?
I heard nothing. Let's get a report.
Okay. Yesterday afternoon, AIPAC, the American-Israel Political Action Committee, which is, you know, the main force group shoving the America into Israel's side on these aggressive wars, they had the annual award dinner, the Oregon delegation, at the Mittleman Community Center on Capitol Highway South, I guess it is, yesterday afternoon, that presumably started at 4:30. Three of us from Laughing Horse Books were the first ones there at about 2:30, figuring people would arrive early. Within about an hour, there are another 30, 40 people there. At the peak right at 4:30, there must have been 50 or 55, a dozen Palestinian flags, signs saying everything up to and including Star of David equals German swastika. The three of us who got there first left about 4:45, and apparently just after we left, there were about 20 other arrests, including Joe Walsh, the lone vet who ran against Earl Blumenauer in the Democratic primary last March or whenever it was on the issue of Blumenauer refused to back impeachment, and so Joe ran against him.
Uh-huh.
I think there were some other fairly high profile people that were also arrested. I don't know who they were. I would like to say that the Laughing Horse people who left just in time did not have any idea what was coming.
Okay. Well, Glenn, if you'd like to call back tomorrow, we can get more info from you. We got about 7 minutes for the whole show. I'm going to blast through these calls. But Glenn, you're invited to call back and give us more, but we got to move on now.
Yes, sir. Thanks.
Oh, where, I'm probably portlandindymedia.org. I'm sure that's the place for more info.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Glenn, for that report. And
sure.
And we have more protests coming up in Portland in the near future, and I don't know whether I'm going to be at this upcoming protest. I'm busy doing my show every day, so I can't. So I have to watch my energy, and I'm trying to get healthier now and get some exercise and get focused for, you know, what we got coming up ahead and being on top of my game and being very informed. So without getting burnt out. So I can only take on so many projects, but I thank you guys for what you're doing out there in downtown Portland. John from Colorado, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. This is the first time I've listened to your show. I quite enjoy it. I thought I would touch on topic with your wrestling spiel today. I find it interesting that they do pump these characters up full of steroids and testosterone while the entire audience is bewildered by their massive strength and enormity, wishing they were them as they drink out of their plastic PBA-filled Coors Light bottles and soda pop cans that feminize them as they watch this. I find it quite interesting as well that you compare politics with the wrestling scene, just as Jesse Ventura speaks, and as we know, he was Jesse the Body. So those were the topics that I thought were quite interesting to add to your program today.
You know, I think I'm going to thank you, John, and I'm going to talk about it again. And I feel really inspired. I want to make a slideshow mini documentary about this because there's so much info that if only people knew about that dark side. And I wonder if I tried to get a hold of some of these ex-wrestlers, if they'll talk to me and tell me their story. I'm starting to think this is really possible. If I want to dig deeper, I might find some stuff out.
Absolutely. And I'm sure they would, because they've been tainted by it. They've been abused by it. It's just like any other New World Order system. And I find it really interesting that they're pumping these guys full of steroids while they're feeding the public full of these feminizing plastics.
That's another thing about Vince McMahon. He would just get rid of wrestlers if they hurt themselves and they couldn't come back. So he had a special doctor who later went to prison that would pump them full of steroids to heal from the injury instead of naturally letting it heal by giving it rest. We all know you have some rest. But no rest. We need you back. And they overwork them, and only the toughest dogs, the biggest monsters, get to work their way to the top. Otherwise, you have to suck your way to the top, which was also going down.
Absolutely, I agree, and good work, and that would be a great documentary for you to put together. Work on it and work on it hard. Keep up the good work.
Okay, thank you. I'm going to try to get motivated, and I'll write an article about it. Thank you very much, John, and we will continue with the next caller here. Mo in Oregon, hello.
Yes, how you doing, sir?
Doing well.
I send more traffic to your station through my radio station to know which one I'm talking about. So that's why you have more callers every day. So anyway, everybody loves your website anyway. So anyway, bottom line is when Obama sent a message to Iranians, what about the human rights, Mr. Obama? I mean, Obama sent just empty message to, soft message. As long as it doesn't matter, we don't give a damn. You can kill Iranian and sell their body parts. It's okay. It's like a China, what they're doing to the followers of Falun Gong, a traditional self-cultivation practice to improve mind and body. And so same thing in Iran, it happens. It's okay. As long as you do that, it's okay. But as long as you don't make a nuclear bomb, then we are okay with you. I mean, what the hell is Mr. Obama? Obama, human rights violation in Iran is number second to China. I mean, hanging and also using the body parts. Shame on you, Obama. I mean, you have to include human rights also in your speech. And by the way, since I was unable to get you earlier, I would like to tell you Happy New Year, Happy Nowruz to you, and I wish you the best
New Year! Yeah, all right. Yeah, I know. Festive is okay.
Because it's still 2 weeks, as 2 weeks we are in the celebration period of the Nowruz. Happy New Year, that's why I said it right now. It still is valid.
Well, you're talking about spring, basically. Your New Year is coming when spring happens, right?
Our New Year, yeah. Your New Year and my New Year, yeah.
And I've heard, a lot of metaphysical people are into that. They say it's more like that's when really the New Year starts, when it's spring. Right. And I don't get involved in anything religious or any rituals whatsoever from any religion or belief system, including Buddhism, which I find a lot of interesting stuff from. About non-attachment, However, I feel that life begins. It is a new year when it's spring. This is a new year. This is a new time. It's about if we're to be connected with nature. Now the sun's coming out more. It's getting warmer. It's time to grow things. It's time to plant some seeds. So yes, we can help definitely make this a happy new year in our own lives and look at the seasons and get out and be more get some more vitamin D when the sun comes out.
Yeah, I hope so. I know I have a vitamin D deficiency myself. My doctor gave me 50,000 units, take it every day. Well, and then he tests me again. I don't know what's going on. Yeah, because of we have so much cloud. I mean, the rain.
Hey, Mo, we're out of time. Thank you for your call. We're out of time.
Okay, happy Noruz. Bye-bye.
All right, thank you very much, folks. We will see you tomorrow. 1 o'clock Pacific time, 3 o'clock Central. That would be 4 o'clock Eastern time if you're on the East Coast. Also, check out my website, alexcancer.com. See you then. Take care.